nothing wrong, but work comes along and kids come along and things come along, and all of a sudden there seems to be a little bit of a boredom, maybe a little bit of taking each other for granted. Maybe you don't spend the time like you used to before. Remember those days when the parents had to kick you out of the house because you wouldn't go home, right? And my wife would do that. She would say, "I'm going to bed. You can do whatever you want to. And I'd have to leave." But we have those things. There's an excitement. There's something there. Think back at the time you got saved. An excitement. I hope you didn't say, "Lord, I'm glad I'm saved now. I'm going to go on about my own thing and get busy with life and not spend any time in your word." I don't think anybody did that. But those things happen, don't they? That's why we read about revival in the Bible, and revival's happening. It's revive us again. Lord, you know, my wife and I, we would go away about every 6 months somewhere to a marriage retreat just to revive that marriage and keep it strong and keep it going and keep it like it needs to be. And I praise God for 45 years plus now that we've been married, and wonderful time together. But you have to work at it. It's a revival thing. Same thing at work. You get a job and you're all excited about that new career, and on the second day you start bemoaning the fact that you're working there, right? We go down really, really fast. We don't get stay excited like we should for the things of the Lord. So I was looking for something up here. Somebody moved it. I bet you Mike moved it. Somebody did. All right. I don't know. All right. I did. It's in my pocket. There we go. All right. Amen. We got all kinds of new things. We're going to be done just a little bit earlier today because we're going to show you something. I think you'd be excited about something totally new. So we're going to do that. I believe God's got a lot for this church. I looked yesterday. We got a mortgage statement in. And by the end of next year, we'll have enough in our, nothing happens, in our savings and our checking account to pay off the building by the end of next year if we wanted to do that. It's exciting, folks. God has provided. You've been generous. God has provided. Excited to see what God will do here. So anyway, I want to get back, and I kind of lost track a little bit there. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, we were excited about our marriage. We're excited about our job. You got saved. You're excited about the Lord. But maybe now you find yourself not really spending time in the book like you should. Well, I get my preaching. I watch on Facebook or whatever I might do. And it's interesting. We can actually see on Facebook basically how many people watch all the way through. Not just turn it on so pastor can see that I was watching and then turn it off. We can actually see those things. Isn't that good to know? Big Brother's watching. They know everything that's going on. But listen, I want this to be a revival month. We can't generate revival. Revival comes from the Lord. But what we can do is we can set the conditions for revival. We can get our heart right with the Lord. We can get back into church where we belong. We can get into the book. We can get on our knees. We can do the things that we need to do to get right with God. That's in our control. Amen? Those are the things that we can do. We get away. It's usually not intentional, like I said, but sometimes we do that. So I'm going to give you some things today. How come we're not up on the screen, guys? Get me up there. Come on. No, you're not good. Come on. Come on. Come on. We did this last Wednesday. It was up and then it wasn't up. So I don't know what... am I up there yet? Milton's up here giving me a little... oops. Right, let's find out what's going on here. It should be up there. The screen's up there. I think that's my screen. Looks like my screen. So let's try this one more time and get this started and see if we can figure out what in the world we're doing wrong here. I want you to see this today because you need this in order to see it, in order to have that. So I'm not exactly sure why. We up there now? All right. The problem was in the presenter and not in you. So there we go. See if that'll stay up there. There we go. Staying. Back off. Like that. Okay. All right. So we've got some stuff to work on here. Technical difficulties. I appreciate all you that were watching this week when we actually were playing with this thing and you're watching. So I don't know why that's not working, but it's not. So let's go. We're just going to look at some verses today. So we start out a revival for God's Word. That's what we need. You're not going to have revival, folks, until you get into this book. Until you learn this book. I love this thing next door. I've heard the stuff that Washington is with deists and these other guys. In 1920, folks, we started rewriting history. I want to tell you today, they're rewriting the Bible. They're rewriting this book. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in all their ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. He'll direct your paths. That's what the Bible says. But they're changing it. He'll make your path straight. They're changing things. They're taking the blood out. We were at Walmart the other day looking at Bibles. And I thought, wow, you know, we look here at Bibles and there's a little tiny section of KJVs. It's going away, folks. In the book of Amos, I believe it's chapter 3, we read about the fact that they looked as far as the east from the west and the Word of God was not to be found. Understand something. We're either going to love this book or God will hide it on us. Then we'll have nothing. So I'm going to encourage you, revival starts with the Bible. So we're going to look at some Psalms. You get your Bible ready today because we're going to have to read these, all of them as we go through. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7. Let me give you the first reason to revive your love for God's Word, because it is the very mind of God. In John 17:17, sanctify them through the truth. Thy Word is truth. You can read magazines, you can read books, you can read all kinds of things, but I want to tell you, truth is right here. Truth is right here. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the souls. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making what? Wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, the honeycomb. We find this is the very mind of God. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 55, we won't take time to read that one today, but you ought to look at it. The Bible says this, my thoughts aren't your thoughts, saith the Lord, and your thoughts aren't my thoughts. Your ways aren't my ways, and my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. So we have people that think they know more about God, so we're going to change the mind of God by changing what he wrote. You can be encouraged today. You have the Word of God sitting right there in your hands. We have it today as it was given down to us from the Greek Textus Receptus right through into the English Bible that we have here with us today. We can read this, modified somewhat, but only in spellings. If you noticed, if you were next door, I believe there was a lot of L's in there instead of S's and different things. So we have 17-something English. We don't speak 1600 English, but those are the only changes, folks. Spelling and some commas here and there. So understand something. You have the Word of God. You have it in your hand. So we see the reason. Another reason is the very subject of it is Christ. If I'm going to spend eternity with God, eternity with my Lord and Savior, don't I want to know about him? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. That's our Savior. It's not only the mind of God. Listen, folks, it is its very subject is Christ. From Genesis, where we see in the beginning where God or Christ was there creating all things, He is God in human flesh. Right to the end in the book of Revelation, when He makes those final judgments on those that are lost and ushers in His new kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth. It's the very mind of God. It's the very subject of Christ. It's everything you need to know about the Savior. Why do we go run and read about what Trump's doing, what the Democrats are doing, or what they're doing over here? I want to know about the Lord. He's our refuge. Here's our strength. We'll change presidents. We'll change senators. We'll change people, but the Lord never changes. We ought to get excited. I hope you're excited about the word of the Lord today. It's the state of man. Go over and look at Romans chapter 3. I'll tell you what, there's a reason they're trying to do away with Christianity in the history books that are being written. You want to see a good history book? Get that one that Michael has. It's the history before 1900, before they started changing things. But listen to me. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Here's the description of us right here. You see, it's not what we think about ourselves. It's what God knows about us. You notice there was another mass shooting yesterday down in Texas. Two guys just driving around in a car just shooting people. Just indiscriminately. I don't know how it ended. I haven't heard. I heard maybe they shot both of those guys in the trucks. I haven't heard. But listen, folks, we have a hateful world. You know, we separate based on the color of somebody's skin. We separate on the basis of their nationality. Acts 17:26 says God made us all of one race. One blood. One nation. We are one people. And we've got to stop spreading hate around. I didn't realize this morning until I heard that. Can you imagine one vote? You don't think one vote matters? One vote matters, folks. Because if they would have abolished slavery back in 1776 or 1789, guess what? We wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have here today. Understand those things. It is a state of man. Here's your biography on your tombstone. Starting in verse 10. And it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many righteous? None. Nobody. Right? There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of their way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You see, good is measured by God, not by us. Understand that? God is the standard. God is where we need to be. That's why I said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It says, their throat is an open sepulcher. Boy, isn't that the truth nowadays? You know, it used to be just men curse. Now women curse better than men do. Throwing words out there, profanity and all these things. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. 60 million babies aborted. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's a problem right there. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear. Look at verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, having witnessed by the law and of the prophets. Now watch these next two verses. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, not by works, by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. We are all the same. There are believers and there are unbelievers. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible is clear. It's for one man, Adam, sinned into the world, and death by sin, that so that all have sinned. Aren't you glad the Bible points it out to us? By the way, if you knew your Bible, when people talk about how bad things are, you could say, yep, God told us how bad we were. He told us about our evil, that we're swift to shed innocent blood, that we're swift to have our mouths an open sepulcher. That's like, I remember when Sandy Bunce, before she passed away, her brother died. And they found her, I believe, found him, I think, 2 weeks after he had died, or a week, something like that. They went into that room. His body was black, and a stench filled the room. Decay had set in. It's like an open sepulcher, a place where you put a dead body. You open it up and it stinks. God says, look, here's the state of man. You see, we'll never truly come to what God has done for us until we truly understand who we are and where we are. I'm glad he died for us. See, the Bible will open this up for you. It's a state of mind. It's the way of salvation. Bible tells us in John 14 and verse 6. Let me see if I can get some of that off the screen for you, and maybe you can see that just a little bit better. Somewhere over here. I think it's right there. I promise I will work on this afternoon. There you go. I took the whole thing off. All right. Obviously, we have some work to do. Right? Amen. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Right? He is the truth. He is the way. He's the way of salvation. Look at Romans. You're in Romans. Go over and turn over to chapter 10 of Romans. If thou shalt converse 9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from hell, saved from the punishment of sin, saved to spend eternity with him. It's not by works. It's not baptism. It's not something you can do. It's not something that's handed down by your parents. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. In verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. It's the way of salvation. When people think I've got to start this religion or that faith or do this, or I've got to work my way, or whatever I have to do. I spoke with somebody this week, and they're not doing well, and they're home. They say they're Christians. And I said, you know, they want, what's an encouraging book in the Bible? I said, well, the book of Philippians. They said, oh, is that in the Old Testament or in the New Testament? How much do we really love God? You don't even know the book is in the Bible. How are you going to get encouraged when you don't know? People who aren't saved, you know, people say, well, I believe we need to be baptized to be saved. We need to join a church. We need to be this or that or this faith or whatever it might be. I'm going to tell you something today. They don't know the Bible. The Bible tells us, for he, Christ, was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ is perfect. We are totally imperfect. Christ died on the cross for us to provide a way for us to enter into eternity with him. That's in your Bible. You got to love the book. You know, we go back a couple hundred years, folks, and people didn't have the book. We got more Bibles, many of us, than we know what to do with. Now we've got them right on our iPads and our laptops and everything else that we have. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. I'll give you another reason. You know, we live this life sometimes, and we look around and we ask, like the psalmist did, why doth the heathen rage? Why do people that hate God, that want nothing to do with God, are prospering financially? They have lands, they have money, they have cars, their health seems to be better. What's wrong with that? Are something I'm doing wrong? No. the end of the story hasn't been written yet, folks. We don't judge happiness by what happens in this earth, do we? But understand something, there's coming a day, Revelation chapter 20, start in verse 11. For I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Stop there for a second. You know, they say, I'm good enough. I deserve heaven. I've been taken care of. God's been blessing me. By the way, be careful when you have everything and you think God is blessing you. It may not be so that it's God blessing you. The devil loves people to have everything they want because it'll keep them from the truth. The Bible tells us, sea gave up the dead, verse 13, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now watch, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The day you got saved, the day I was born, they issued a birth certificate, said it was a live birth of a beautiful young boy. Well, I didn't say that, but I know they were thinking it when I was born. You should see my baby pictures. I was so cute. I don't know what happened. You know? I mean, I thought you got ugly after you died, but I started when I was 3. I don't get it. Anyway, we see this. Understand something. There's a doom of sinners is written in your Bible. You don't have to sit there and wonder why the heathen rages. You know what the end is. You know the end of the story. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11, that God's given him a name above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Right? That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Listen to me. Don't you think others are getting away with stuff, so you're going to go do what they do. You stay true to the Lord God. The doom of sinners, it's in your Bible. What's going to happen at the end? It's in your Bible. We do too much of what I think and not enough of what God thinks. Hope you can see that. It's the happiness of believers. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke about blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. The word blessed means happy. Are you happy today? You got a smile on your face? Happy in the Lord? I went down for this this thing with my wife, you know, they stop her heart and they start it back up again, and they took her back there, and we gave a kiss and said goodbye, right? Could have been our last goodbye if they can't get the heart started. They used a paddle with 100 on it, and that didn't start it back up, so they put 200 on, so now she looks like she's been ironing in a bad way, but it got it going, got her back in a proper sink, got her where she needs to be. We're happy about that. Thank you for your prayers. But understand something today. Listen, happiness isn't found in the things we get in this life. Happiness isn't found in sin, folks. Happiness is found in serving the Lord. Look over at Psalm 144 and verse 15. Back in the Psalms, Psalm 144 and verse 15. It says, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Not whose Allah is the Lord. Not whose, whatever religious leader you want is the Lord, but the one true creator God, Jehovah Yahweh. Adonai, the one true God. We're happy. Now let me ask you something. When you go to school tomorrow, when you go to work tomorrow, when you're out there tomorrow, are they going to see you as happy? You know, I like to be happy, right? I mean, if you know much about me, I everywhere I go, I try to put a smile on somebody's face. I try to make them laugh, try to do something, bring some happiness into their life. You know, it takes fewer. I'm kind of not. I don't like exercises. You know, a lot of people have died exercising. In fact, when you use up all of your heart rates and all of your breath because you've been exercising so much, you're going to die young. I like the sedentary lifestyle. Save my breath. Anyway. But the point is this. Listen. We got to get people to smile. They got to see your happiness. I'm telling you, if you're walking around like this, or you're complaining all the time, I know we have nobody in here that complains all the time. Complain about this, complain about that, complain about this, complain about that. Why would anybody ask you for the reason of the hope that lieth within you? They might ask you, what's your problem? Why are you so critical? Why are you so negative? Why are you always talking bad about people? Why don't you like your boss? Why don't you like your teacher? Why don't you like and fill in the blank? Happiness is knowing the Lord, isn't it? Later on today, I go read Psalm 37, verses 4 through 14. If you don't have happiness, folks, you need to go find it. Its doctrines are holy. Turn over to 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Second Timothy, chapter 3, right after 1 Timothy. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Stay there because we're going to come back to this. Verses 16 and 17. Why do I know the doctrines are true? It's very simple. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture. 66 books, which you got right here in this Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means God breathed. God wrote the book. One reason we need revival in this country is we have too many people that don't think God wrote the book. Well, we're going to change those words. We're going to change what that says. We're going to take this out. We're going to take that out. We're going to remove that chapter and do that. It's God's book. Don't you touch it. Don't you take something out. This is God. The book needs to change us, folks. We don't change the book. But if you really don't believe that God preserves His Word, then you know something? Go read Mad Magazine. Go read something else. You might as well. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the Bible tells us that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll turn to it right now, but verses 20 and 21 tells us that the Scripture is of no private interpretation. But God wrote, or man wrote as God spoke, as He moved them to write these things. He told them what to write. This is what I run writing down. Write this down. Write this down. Write this down. You know why it's true? Because God is true. You know why they're holy? Because God is holy. Be holy, for God is holy. And it's Scripture says. We got to fall in love with this book. There's not an error in there. As long as you read the right one. Its teachings are holy. Now, maybe all of you today, you say, you know something? I live a holy life. I have no issues. I have no problems. I don't need the Word of God. You really need the Word of God. Amen? Yeah, you really need it. That's your thinking. Listen, its precepts are binding. I want you to see this in Acts chapter 8, or 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8. That's right after 1 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. There's some things God cannot do. He can't lie. He can't tempt us to sin. And look at chapter 8, verse 56. Chapter 8. Did I write that down right? Oh, I think it's... Go back to 1 Kings. Go back to 1 Kings. I think it's in 1 Kings. Go back. First Kings, see if I got that right. If not, we'll move on. There it is. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. Now watch. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. What a joy knowing today that the promises of the Lord are yea and amen. By the way, the promises go both ways. He promised to punish sin, didn't he? He promised to reward and to love his children. If you're out there, you're watching, or maybe you're here, you never trusted in Christ, his promise to do that to sin will happen. His precepts are binding. His histories are true. The things I'll share, maybe I'll share these in a couple weeks, but it's amazing to me how people will say the Bible is not true, that there's mistakes in it. By the way, everybody that's told me that, nobody's ever been able to come up with one mistake that they can show me. But I read something the other day I thought was amazing. You know, the things that God has done. They said the world was flat. Columbus realized it wasn't, right? But long before that, the Bible said it was round, right? I mean, you can go on and on. There's hundreds of examples like that where the Bible was way ahead of science, folks. I heard something the other day, it said this: the problem isn't between the Bible and science. The problem is between the Bible and evolution. Evolution is really not science, folks. It's theories, okay? There's nothing provable in there. There's the problem. The problem isn't with science. The Bible is good with science. The problem is the Bible has a problem with evolution. Because God made everything. It didn't evolve. God created everything. The Bible says there was nothing made that was made. It was not made by him. Speaking about our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible's true. Stop getting away from the book and saying it's irrelevant. God wrote the Word. God wrote one book. He wrote it so we can know him better. Back when I was getting out of school, I was in college, and people would go to Vietnam. What an awful war that was. But regardless, people went off to war, and they were there, and they would write letters back to maybe a girlfriend or maybe to mom. And I've heard so many stories that they would read that same letter over and over and over and over again. Tears would be in that letter, waiting for the loved one to come back home. Do you read your Bible that way? God's love letter to you? We need a revival, folks, of our love for the Bible. I love our Bible Institute. I wish every person in this church took that Bible Institute. I could care less if you take a test or not. But I tell you what, the Bible says it will not return void. We need to have a revival. Its histories are true. His decisions are immutable. The Bible simply tells us this, that God changeth not. Aren't you glad it doesn't change? Okay? People try to revise it, just like they're trying to change American history. But I'm going to tell you something. What God said is true. And we can rest on that promise, folks. It's immutable. And its end is God's glory. The Bible says in John 1:14 that when Jesus was made flesh, that we beheld the glory of God. Jesus was God in human flesh. Think about that day when you stand before God in heaven. I hear people say, well, I'm going to go find my loved ones. I'm going to find them. You want to find me in heaven, just look for the throne. I'll stay there for a couple million years. How about you? Spend time with my Lord. The very end of this whole book, the reason he gave it to us is that we may glorify him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We held his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, let me give you a few benefits. Back there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we didn't stay there. But the Bible tells us that Timothy was told by Paul that as from a young child, thou hast learned the Scriptures. Now, I'll take a step back because I really don't like people who change the scriptures. You see, they've changed it to, from an infant, thou knowest the scriptures. You may have the smartest baby who ever lived. But I'm going to tell you this today. I can teach a six-month-old infant the word of God, and they're not going to remember any of it. As a young child, it said. Why? Because his parents, his grandmother and mother anyway, diligently taught him the word of God. It's a sad thing today that parents spend that much time in their homes teaching their children the word of God. And if they don't do it, if dad doesn't do it, he gives it over to mom and lets mom do it. Because I'm busy working. I'm busy doing this. I'm busy doing that. I want to tell you something. Dad, it's your responsibility. Teach your kids the word of God. You say, I didn't do that with my kids. You got grandkids? Teach them the word of God. We need to be doing that. It can make you wise, the Bible says. That's what he said there. It made you wise. You want to be wise in this world? You need to read the Bible. You study the Bible. You know what the Bible says. This book is your manual for living. There's a benefit to reading it. You want wisdom. It's wisdom that leads to salvation. It's wisdom that leads to the right kind of a life. You can believe it to be safe. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that he's there with us, ever present in times of danger. We preached on that last week. You want a benefit? Spend some time in the Word of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When difficult times come, guess what? We've got the Lord. My wife went back there. I knew they were stopping her heart, but I got the Lord. She's got the Lord. And we had spent some time and witnessing to some of them, and I felt sorry. One of her nurses was there, and we got to talking about things, and we mentioned the fact that we have our 18th grandkid on the way, and we just had two children and whatnot, and she looked and she started looking sad. She's 64. She says, you know, I should have gotten married. I should have had children. I said, are your parents alive? She says, no. How about siblings? I was an only child. She's 64, folks, and all by herself. She needs the Lord. That's what she needs. She needs the Lord. You know, there's safety there. When we have family now, we can run to them. We can conference with them and console with them. But this woman has nobody. Pray for her. Her name's Michelle. God is there for us. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our fortress. We can hide under His wings. You know why you read the Bible? So you're not somebody that calls me and says, Pastor, is that in the Old Testament or New Testament? Paul said it this way to the Corinthians. You need a teacher and you should be teaching. That's paraphrased, by the way. We should know the Bible well enough, folks, that we can comfort other people with it. That we can share the Scripture. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? We don't need, hey, I want to call my pastor so he can encourage you. No. No. One of the benefits is so that you can help other people. Oh, my battery's running low. I thought my heart was going weak. Anyway, keep going. We'll get this. Everything's working on. Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Let me give you another one. You can practice the Word of God to be holy, can't you? Yeah. You do understand when you get to heaven, sin is not allowed. So you can't drag your sinful habits up there with you. Okay? When you get to heaven, it's all holy. Why not practice here? Right? Amen? Why not practice holiness here? That's what the Bible will do. You hide it in your heart that it might not sin against thee. Because when something comes up, a temptation from the devil comes along, your heart goes, oop, nope, not that. Right? It's your security. It's your guard. It's your practice to be holy. It contains light to direct you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you don't know which way to turn, God does. God knows what He's doing. God knows what you're doing. God says, look, all you need to do. Aren't you glad in life? Listen, some of you that are older, a lot are older than me, by the way, but older, aren't you glad today that God didn't give you a halogen to see 30 years down the road or 40 years down the road? I don't know about you, man. I would have quit right then. Right? I'm going to have cancer. No, you're going to have that. No, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. God simply says, it's just a lamp under your feet. It's plain and simple, folks. It looks something like this. There's my phone. There's the lamp. And there's what I do. Don't start looking 3 weeks ahead. Don't start looking a month ahead. Look and see exactly where God has you at any point in time. He says, I'll direct your paths. He says, I will make them straight. But I'll direct them. Because I need you to take that hill. I need you to go down in that valley. I need you to take that curve. I need you to do those things. God didn't promise, look it, you're saved. No more temptation. No more sin. No more problems. Everything is coming up roses without the thorns. Has anybody had that kind of a Christian life? No. No. But God says, listen, it contains light. I'll give you light onto your path. It contains food. I love these scriptures. We don't have time today to turn to them, but Job talked about that the word of God was better to him than food. And the psalmist spoke of the same thing. In fact, the Lord is called the bread of life. It said, we read in the Psalms there, that his words are sweeter than honey. How many like honey? I love honey. Okay, I put honey on everything. How many like honey on chicken? Oh, baby, if you've never had honey on chicken, you haven't lived. You get some of that chicken, I don't care if it's deep fried, half baked, whatever it might be, you pour some honey on that, a lot of honey, just soak it and take a bite out of that thing. I want to tell you, you think you were in heaven. Amen? Yeah, it's good. Listen to it. It contains food to support you. This book will get you through life, folks. But it won't get you through life if it just sits on a shelf. If you just pick it up and to bring it to church. Just look at it from time to time. Well, I got my Bible on my phone. I want to tell you, that's a good thing. I have a Bible on my phone too, but nothing replaces this book. It's something I've got in my hands. I can flip. I can go here and there and different things I can write down to. Well, I can do that with my phone. Listen, I'll tell you what you can't do with your phone. You can't walk down the hall of a hospital with this thing in your hand and somebody come up to you and say, hey, are you a preacher? By the way, if they ask you that, tell them yes. Got that, ladies? All right? Tell them you're a preacher. You might not be a pastor. You're a preacher. You say, yes, and what do you need? You got it in that phone. They don't know anything that's going on, right? All right? So don't erase it here, but carry it here. A couple more. We'll be done. It provides comfort to cheer you. Some of you look like you really need cheering today. How many had prunes for breakfast? Who did? Ah. Well, she's smiling, so she must have had the after effect, okay? Well, I'll tell you something. Some of us, we walk into church. I'm afraid that when we don't have your faces on Facebook, I don't want people to see. When you walk outside the doors of the church, I wonder if there are people watching. Right? Listen, the Bible has the words to cheer us, doesn't it? To lift us up, to encourage us. We've got to get into it. We need a new love for the book, folks. We need a new book, a love for the book. We will not have revival until we get a new love for this book. God says, if you don't want my words, why do you want my actions? If you don't want my words, why do you want my blessings? Think about it. It's your traveling map. We nod and say, I don't understand. That's the Bible says. In all the ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He's your traveling map. He takes you where you need to go. There he goes. Boom, 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 boom. Who knows where you might end up? You know, who knows where we go? It's a map of life. Somebody says, well, with any luck or coincidence, now with the directing of the Holy Spirit, he knows where I'm at. We lived here in Michigan for many years. We got married here. And then God moved us to Ohio. My wife cried. And then 15 years later, God moved us back here. My wife cried. Listen, God puts us right where he wants us. God knew, or my wife knew, God was moving us. God had a purpose. God had a church he needed to start here in Ypsilanti. God has things he wants to do, and he wants to know, can I use you? Would it be okay if I use you for this? Can I use you to play the piano for me? Because I've got this other one. She's going to be needed out in another place, so I need you to play the piano. Could you come up and sing with me? By the way, that was our men's septet, okay? And first time we've done that together, I thought they did pretty good. Listen, can you do that? Can you teach that Sunday school class for me? By the way, let me tell you something, teachers. And I'm going to be done here, I promise. I've got to be done in 5 minutes. If I go over, cut the microphone, okay? Understand. Listen, teachers, build your Sunday school class. Build your classes. How do I do that? Well, you have to get out of your house and you got to look for kids, right? And sit there, go talk to some moms. Go around the church here. I've been over this park over here, and there's all kinds of kids, man. They're there all the time. You know, it'd be fun. I take your Sunday school class over to the park, and I do balloons or something like that, and see how many other kids want to come and join you. I think the teen group ought to do that. Teens ought to go find some teenagers. You know, we need to build. How do we build? We have to go do it. We have to go do it. It's our traveling map. I think I've got one or two more. It's our moral compass. Now, let me stop here for a second. It really isn't our moral compass. Our moral compass is the Holy Spirit. People say, well, America's lost its moral compass. No, Christians have lost being directed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He leads us into the deeper things. He gives us understanding. The unsaved man, according to Paul in Corinthians, doesn't understand the Word of God. They don't know the Word of God. We need to stop expecting the world to live godly lives when they don't know God. But we should expect Christians to live godly lives so other people can see God in us. Where's your moral compass? Is it broke? What do you watch on television? What do you listen to on the radio? What do you talk about when you're at work and you're at school? What's important to you? We saw the movie Overcomer. I thought it was a good movie. Anybody else go see it? Nobody else went to see it? That's good. Anyway, very good point in there. I'll ruin it for you a little bit then. But the one guy, the man comes to... a man laying in a hospital bed, and the guy says, ask him who you are. And the guy goes on to say, well, I'm a dad, I'm a school teacher, I'm a coach, I'm a this and that and that. And the man asks him again, he says, well, I thought you were a Christian. Well, I am. He says, why is it so far down the list? Just think about that this week. I may put that on my post tomorrow. Who are you? And somebody says, hey, my name is such and such. Who are you? I'm a born-again child of the King. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, headed for heaven. Right? What if you started out that way? Instead of, well, I'm a painter, I'm an architect, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a this. Most important thing you are is a born-again child of the King. Listen, folks, we need to get our moral compass straightened out so that we can go into the world and teach them what's right. Benefits again. It's your soldier's sword, right? The Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm going to tell you something. This book is your only offensive weapon. It's not your tongue. Do you get that? It's the book. Stop bickering, arguing, complaining, and trying to get the upper hand and use the book. This is what the Lord says. This is what God said. This is what our Savior Jesus Christ said. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you think is right. I want to know what God says is right. because He is holy and He is true. Revive us again, Lord. Give us a love for this book. And it's a character builder. Simply tells us this. Look at, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want a godly character? It's right there. That's what we do. It's right there. Galatians chapter 5. I do have, Lord, one more, and this is it. How many of you would just love to go to a gold mine and have somebody tell you, whatever you can carry out, you can keep? Anybody? Anybody? No? Some of you wouldn't. Some of you aren't even here this morning. Okay? I don't know about you. I would. Somebody said, I don't even know if they still have gold at Fort Knox. I don't know. But somebody discovered a gold mine, you know, in the gold rush, California gold rush of the 1970s. A change in history, might as well change all of it, right? And in the 1800s, they went out there. Very few people actually found gold. The ones that did find gold, they were ambushed and killed by someone who wanted their gold, right? But understand, if you could have all the wealth in the world, you know, God told Joshua, he had an easy job. Joshua had a simple, simple job. All he had to do was take over for the most popular man in all of Israel and lead 2 million people across the flooded Jordan River against the mightiest fortified city of the day. Sounds easy to me. How about you? I want you to turn to Joshua 1:8. This will be our last verse for today. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Right after the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find Joshua before the book of Judges. Here's what he says. This book of the law, that's God's word, folks, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein once a week. When you get around to it, what's it say? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. I think that promise holds true today, don't you? Day and night. The church in Thessalonica, it was in Berea. The Bible said they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. Now look how he ends this. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good, what? Success. You want success in life? You want good in life? You want what God has to offer? It's a mine of wealth sitting inside this book. I've been studying this thing now for 45 years here. In about 3 weeks, it'll be 45 years. I still find new stuff in here. There's still a gold nugget here and there and here and there and here and there. In fact, it seems like the more I study, the more gold that I find. To live your life, to have a happy life, to put a smile on those faces. 1, 2, 3, Joel Osteen. Please, smile. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's have our pianist come and take this time, have a time of invitation. Maybe today you ought to come and say, you know, I need a fresh love for the Word of God. I need to read this book. I need to study this book. I need to know this book. We have more tools out there today to learn this book than we ever had before. Why don't you come? Maybe today you'll get the revival started out right, coming and saying, Lord, send revival to our church, that we may take revival out into our land, that others may come to know Christ. What will you do this morning? Will you come? Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we come before you now. We thank you for this precious book, a mine of wealth that you've given to us. Your mind, all about Christ, here for our good, here for our happiness, here to direct our lives, here for everything we need. It's our food. It's our light. It's our water. It's everything we need. And Lord, today there's many that they'll open this book today and it might not open again until next week. For some that missed this morning, it may not open up again for 2 weeks. Oh, Lord, help us to once again fall in love with this book. Fall in love with your word. Fall in love with you all over again. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.